the conversion of King Nebuchadnezzar. You recall which book of the Bible we're talking about? Daniel, that's right. You remember how many chapters are in the book of Daniel? It's an easy one to guess, biblically speaking. 12, yes. 12 chapters in Daniel, yeah. That's usually your standard answer, Amy. 12, and then what's the number of verses in the final chapter of Daniel? Any guesses? 12 as well. Very good, excellent, good. This part of the Bible comes from the period of time between 605 B.C. to 539 B.C. And this is the time of the Persian Empire's gain and Israel's loss, if you will. In 722 B.C., just a little bit before this time period, Assyria besieged Jerusalem, Samaria, took it down, and Israel was no more. Before that, we had the divided kingdoms. Before that, the united kingdoms. And perhaps it's because of the divided kingdoms and the unfaithfulness of the people that God let Israel be taken by Assyria. What was Assyria like? Assyria was one of the largest empires in the ancient world. One of the largest. The first four chapters of the book of Daniel have to do with Nebuchadnezzar. Not the whole book of Daniel, just the first four chapters between Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. And Luther said that none of the children of Abraham were as mighty of ruler as Daniel. And we don't often think that, but I thought that was very interesting. You think of Joseph in the Old Testament, right? Really high ranking under King Pharaoh in Egypt. He says, even he is a little lord compared to Daniel because of the size of Assyria, its kingdom, and how great an impact it was in the world. Assyria was huge. If you look at maps of its rule, it was very widespread. David and Solomon, just Israel, those are little kings, little lords, in Martin Luther's words, compared to Daniel and how high he was regarded in the world. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar's conversion. I'm going to talk about this conversion kind of going through the first four books of the Bible, first four chapters of Daniel real quick. The first thing that lent towards his conversion was vegetables. Believe it or not, he would not eat and drink what the king was eating and drinking. And so he said, just feed us, feed the other Judeans vegetables, and let's see over time who fares better, those who drink the wine and your food or those who eat the vegetables. And it turns out Daniel and his friends from Judea, they were better at everything, smarter and everything because of the vegetables versus those who ate and drank the wine that the king was eating not so well. So this was probably impressive to King Nebuchadnezzar. Probably didn't convert him yet, but it was impressive. The second thing that was impressive was the fiery furnace that you're familiar with. King Nebuchadnezzar created a big gold statue and forced everybody to bow down and worship it whenever the music, except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, hey, you shall have no other gods. We can't bow down to this foreign idol. And so King Nebuchadnezzar turned up the furnace seven times hotter than any other time and tried to put the three of them in there. Those who were bringing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the fiery furnace, they died. It was so hot. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were fine. In fact, King Nebuchadnezzar looks in the furnace, there was another person that he didn't know who that was. One like a son of man, an angel who protected them. And that was impressive. And he even had words of praise towards their God, but yet not converted. Just impressed. Finally, what we heard tonight in Daniel 4 was a dream. And the dream is what, and its interpretation, and that which happened after the dream and its interpretation, that converted King Nebuchadnezzar. His dream was about a tree. Went up to the heavens, could be seen to the ends of the earth. And Daniel was the only one who could interpret the dream. All the other men, the Chaldeans, the magicians, the enchanters, they couldn't interpret the dream. Daniel, he alone could interpret the dream. Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom were going to fall, according to the interpretation of Daniel's dream. Kind of a bold interpretation. And Daniel even admitted a little bit earlier in chapter 2 that, hey, the fact that I know your interpretation of your dream is not because I'm smart or have wisdom, but it was revealed to me by my God in a vision of his own. And he, as you heard in the text tonight, he preached the law, And he says, therefore, break off your sins by practicing righteousness. He preached repentance. And your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may be a lengthening to your prosperity. And Nebuchadnezzar, I think, had need of time to chew on that. It said he thought about it for 12 months before he kind of gave his final answer. And what did he say? I built this kingdom, Babylon, by my majesty, my power. Hogwash, really, to Daniel's interpretation that this tree is me and that's going to get chopped down. And as he's speaking, a voice from heaven interrupts and says, O King Nebuchadnezzar, it was you. And now you're going to be like the beast of the field and the heavens are going to rain upon you, and you heard in the text. King Nebuchadnezzar lost the kingdom in all of its splendor. He lost his mind, became like a beast's mind. There's a condition that actually corresponds to that, they say. And his fingernails grew, his hair grew, until he lifted up his eyes to heaven and his reason returned to him. And he praised the God of the heavens, the Most High, who is able to humble those who walk in pride. King Nebuchadnezzar was somebody who walked in pride. The biggest empire in the ancient world, perhaps. By my power? Daniel said, no, it's by God who gives it to whom he wills. Which is it going to be? Your power? You did all this, O King? Or the Most High? Interestingly, in the New Testament, Peter says in 1 Peter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand so that he may exalt you. God reveals through Nebuchadnezzar's dream the final dissolution of all earthly kingdoms. Only one kingdom will endure forever. The same one that Jesus proclaimed when he said, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. What we learn tonight as God's people listening to this text today, I think we can say with confidence that God does want high and mighty men converted to the faith. He wanted King Nebuchadnezzar converted to the faith. He allowed the circumstances of King Nebuchadnezzar to help convert him to praising and honor and recognizing God as King above all kings, and his dominion lasts forever. We may be scared sometimes to tell someone high and mighty about the faith of Jesus. Oh, this guy is too busy, he's too powerful, he's got too much fame, too much glory. We can't possibly tell them about our humble faith. Hogwash, right? Daniel was bold to do it. Imagine telling President Putin or Obama or somebody about the kingdom of God, someone that amount of authority and rule. God foretells of the coming Messiah through the dreams of King Nebuchadnezzar and the interpretation by Daniel, the Holy One who's coming down from heaven, setting it up on the world stage. God brings down the mighty and exalts the lowly. Who was Daniel? Someone who was captured in Judea at the siege of Jerusalem and brought into the Babylonian kingdom and rose to such rule and power. He was greater than all the other Old Testament kings like Joseph and David and Solomon. Lowly Daniel. And Daniel preaches law and gospel. The mighty one is going to bring down you, O mighty one, king here on earth. But if you repent, then your kingdom will have prosperity. Some promise. Conversion happens not because we position ourselves to be converted, but because God is king. And he brings about conversion through humble repentance and faith. And turning to the greater king, to Jesus Christ. Faith in that king, faith in his kingdom which has no end, which has been proved by his death and his resurrection, that's a kingdom that will endure from generation to generation. Even if kingdoms and empires in the United States or Russia, Even if these kingdoms all fall, that kingdom, it endures forever. We start Lent, I guess, tonight. Our midweek Lent meditation, thinking about a great king who was converted to the faith. And we'll end Lent and Holy Week with a great conversion too. The conversion of this man, Jesus, who was known as some as, "You have the words of eternal life," to looking like a man who was a criminal, who was condemned to death as a sinner for blaspheming, and yet above his head, Inri, right? Yesu, he's the king of Judea. And better than that, we know he's the king of all. Praise be to God. Amen.